Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting from Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. We have on the show with us today Mr. Jonathan Science, Director of Legislative Affairs and an attorney with the Free Market Foundation and the Liberty Legal Institute, located in Austin, Texas. And Mr. Sines, I understand that you recently attended a hearing that was held by the Texas State Board of Education where the public was able to give input as to whether students in Texas should learn about both the scientific strengths and weaknesses of evolution. Is that correct?
That's correct, Casey. For over 20 years, the state of Texas has had a part of their curriculum policy for science to teach the strengths and weaknesses of all scientific theories, including evolution. So yesterday, what they had was a hearing, allow people to give their input on this issue. And although no vote was to be taken, there was a robust discussion about the direction of Texas. And it can only go two ways. The state of Texas is either going to continue what is reasonable and logical for science, and that's teaching, continuing to teach strengths and weaknesses of all scientific theories, are going a drastically different direction and ban the teaching of weaknesses and censor academic freedom in the classroom.
So what were some of the arguments that were being made at the hearing yesterday on both of the different sides?
What's been going on in our state is really a hijacking by a small group of folks who want to change the way science is taught and the way many things are done here in the state of Texas. And so their argument, which we've heard before, is that if you allow a robust discussion of science about strengths and weaknesses, which even those scientists on their side admit exist, and that religion will sneak and find its way into the classroom, and that awful thought of intelligent design may be uttered. But you know what's interesting is the people that testified one after one to this misled view were asked the question, okay, so what proof or what example can you give me of religion being taught in the classroom while we've had this 20-year policy of teaching strengths and weaknesses? And none of them could come up with any example of religion ever being introduced or intelligent design ever being introduced into the classroom. I don't know how they could have been any more embarrassed. And at one point, they were asked, okay, so you don't have any example of that. You don't have any evidence. So why do you think it's going to happen? I just think it will. And that's good enough.
So, wow.
That's so we're supposed to logic that people want to use to rule our state.
So we're supposed to take it on faith that religion will come into the classroom if teachers talk about scientific articles where scientists have critiqued evolution. Is that basically what they want us to do?
Well, that's right. And we know, as this argument goes, that it really is just a smokescreen. It's a way for them to try to scare people and intimidate people to control what's being taught and control free thought in our society. And, you know, one of the other things they brought up towards right before I was able to testify was this myth that there's going to be all these litany of lawsuits. And so I thought that was interesting. And they started quoting other cases where creationism has been struck down. But the reality is Texas is not in the business of teaching any of those things. They're in the business of teaching science. And so we say teach more evolution, teach all of it. And so they were challenged by, we've got a very astute member of our state board that's attorney, and asked them, so tell me how many lawsuits have taken place for the 20 years that this strengths and weaknesses policy has been in place. And of course, they couldn't cite any because none have ever happened. And so I thought that was fascinating. And so I was actually the only attorney that testified for the whole night up to that point. And what was interesting is they called us out in twos. And so I knew right after me the ACLU was going to testify. And so I even challenged them. And I said, look, the reality is if this policy had weaknesses, so to speak, that would allow it to be challenged in court over 20 years, you can be guaranteed that the ACLU would have already brought their lawsuit. And the reality is they never have because it's sound. And we know from the Edwards versus Aguilar decision that the Supreme Court has said that you can have a type of policy that teaches scientific inquiry. And so, and you know, I quoted that language for him and let him know from a constitutional attorney, here's what the law will allow, and here's what will stand up in court. And I said, look, ACLU is going to testify after me. I'd like to hear if they think that for some reason that would be different. They came up and testified and basically said nothing about the issue.
That's fascinating, Mr. Science. And, you know, in 1995, the ACLU actually signed a joint statement of current law which said that, quote, any genuinely scientific evidence for or against any explanation of life may be taught, unquote. And, of course, that was based upon the Edwards versus Aguilar case. So, I mean, it's absolutely the case that the Texas State Board of Education would like to do is completely legal. Now, since you're an attorney, I'm an attorney as well, but I think that it'd be great coming from you. Is it not the case that it's not an uncommon legal strategy for people to use threats and fears of lawsuit to sort of, in an extortionist type fashion, to get what they want, even if they really don't plan on filing any lawsuit? I mean, is this not an uncommon thing that people in various areas will do?
Well, they do it all the time, and I see them do it in the policy work we do. And often what you have is people that are not attorneys going up there saying that there's going to be all these lawsuits. And so to me, I don't think they have any credibility. So when I get up there and have my shot, I make sure it's clear that not only am I an attorney, I work specifically on constitutional issues, which are at stake. And we've actually worked on these kind of issues. We've worked on other issues at the U.S. Supreme Court. And so wanting to make sure they realize, you're going to believe some 21-year-old science college student that tells you what the law is and what courts may do? Or are you going to teach someone that's actually in the business of this type of practice and knows what the law allows and what will happen? And so once that happens, I think it's made very clear and the other side is exposed. But, you know, it's unfortunate because not everyone gets to hear that or realize that people are distorting what the law says. And they're intimidating people. And we actually had one high school student that testified. That's exactly what happened to her in high school. She wanted to ask questions about the issue of evolution. And she was made to feel, you know, embarrassed and ridiculed and told they weren't allowed to talk about that. And so she graduated valedictorian in her class. That's just one of many examples that we know of where there is this element of fear and intimidation and needs to be stopped.
Well, this is sounding like a very, very familiar story, a story that we've seen in many other states, Mr. Sind, where the Darwinists come in and they claim that there's going to be lawsuits if people even go so far as to just give simple scientific critiques of evolution, where they claim that that there's going to be religion brought into the classroom, that they claim this is all about intelligence, science, and religion. Now, one of the other claims that we often hear in other states is that if evolution is subjected to any form of scientific scrutiny, that somehow that's going to dumb down students and prevent them from being able to get into college, and it may even cause mass exodus of the scientific tech industry from the state in question. We've seen these kind of fear-mongering tactics used in a number of different states. In most recent memory, Louisiana, they made this argument earlier this year. Were they making these kind of fear-mongering, you know, science will leave the state of Texas if you critique evolution kind of arguments at the hearing yesterday?
Well, Casey, true to form, that's exactly what happened. And, you know, it was kind of funny because these people obviously were not prepared to be called on their really the ridiculousness of the argument they were making, because to set up these arguments, they stated about how successful Texas has been, how we have great areas and facilities of science, such as NASA, such as the medical center in Houston, and said that technology is exploding in Texas. Well, guess what? That's happened under the current policy that's existed for science being taught in high school for the past 10 years. And so they undermined themselves. And so when I got up to testify, I reminded them that, okay, we've heard how successful Texas is, not to mention for three straight years, Texas has been, you know, awarded and been stated that it has the most successful economy of all the other states. And so we've got all this, all these things that are thriving under the current policy. If you change it, who knows what will happen after that? And so they undermine themselves by making those arguments. As to the other arguments, they simply had no proof or evidence. If this case was in court, it would have been thrown out.
Wow, this is very interesting, Mr. Sines, and I think that we're just seeing history repeat itself in Texas. Now, if you don't mind just explaining to our listeners just a little bit, so was there any action actually taken at the hearing yesterday, or what was the outcome of this hearing? Was this just an opportunity for the public to give input on whatever their views might have been, or did the State Board of Education actually take some kind of action in the end?
The hearing that was held was simply for discussion and to allow people to express their opinions on this issue. And in January, they will take their first vote. And then in March, they're slated to take their final vote on this issue. So there's still time for people to contact people in Texas, to let the State Board of Education know where they stand on this issue. It'd be great to hear from scientists. You know, one of the things that was quoted during the testimony by another gentleman was the dissent from Darwin list, and to really put to rest this idea that the scientific community is unified, the idea that there's no weaknesses to evolution, which we know is absurd. And so, you know, there's many Texas scientists that were on that list, but we hear from more. And, you know, I think it's pretty common that the scientists agree there are strengths and weaknesses. They're really issues about whether or not small groups of people think that they should be taught and whether or not we're going to allow it, those small groups of people, to dictate the future of science.
Well, I wish all of you in Texas the best, Mr. Sines. I know that Stephen Meyer from the Discovery Institute was one of the expert scientists that gave input. It was in the form of written testimony to the State Board of Education, and there were some other wonderful scientists, Charles Garner and Ralph Silke, a chemist and a biologist, who both gave testimony supporting that students should learn about both the scientific strengths and weaknesses of evolution. And I think that before this is all said and done, we're going to see more testimony given. And hopefully the State Board of Education will not turn this into a politicized issue. They'll just look at this really logically. What is the best way for students to learn about science and evolution education in Texas? And I think when they just cut all the politics out of this, the answer is really clear. You need to teach students about the best science that we have, both for and against these controversial scientific theories, and we need to teach them to have critical thinking skills. And if you don't do that, then you know what? It's possible that you actually will be harmed science in Texas, because you're going to be discouraging students from wanting to get interested in science, and you're going to be not teaching them how to become good scientists. So I think in the long run, you know, for the Darwinists to go around saying that if we teach students to think critically about evolution, that this will harm science, I think really the exact opposite is true. And perhaps you might agree with that.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that's what's important is what I kept focusing on. And when we did media reports, when the hearing was going on, and saying, look, this is about science. You want to teach students the truth about science and what's real. I mean, I think that's what we owe our students, is to teach them accurate information objectively. And that's what science should be about, to be able to look at things critically, to expose students to both sides of the issue on something that continues to change and progress in different ways than we've happened over the past 200 years. And so it's really a disservice and a censorship of thought and free speech to do otherwise.
One final point, Mr. Sines, that I think definitely must have come up yesterday was the survey that the Texas Freedom Network, that really promotes highly dogmatic teaching of evolution, they put out this survey that's very consistent with their view, trying to claim that the scientists of Texas are monolithically against teaching the weaknesses of evolution and that they have absolutely no scientific doubts about evolution. I've talked to a couple news outlets about this survey lately, but I'd like to get your take on their survey, and I'd like to get your perspective. You know, did you mention this at all when you testified yesterday before the State Board of Education?
The survey that came out really is an advocacy piece. And that's one of the things that I focused on was, look, just because the Texas Freedom Network got a couple of scientists to agree with them does not all of a sudden add to their credibility. They say it straight on their website. They want to counter the religious right. They've even got a hit sheet report they put out of all these conservative legislators and groups in Texas that they want to eliminate, people they want to knock off the state board. And when I say eliminate, I mean, you know, they don't want them to be effective. And so, you know, their agenda is clear. They don't want evolution taught completely. They want to deny free speech. They're against religious liberty. You know, there's a number of things that we could talk about. And so one of the things I pointed out was, look, this is not a scientific survey. It's an advocacy group by group that has a clear, directive agenda. And we're not about to let them hijack our state and take us in another direction. And frankly, I don't have a problem with people being involved in advocacy work. That's what I'm involved in. But let's call it what it is. Let's not all of a sudden make it seem like, oh, they are some type of scientific experts. And so, and one of the other things I pointed out was in their study, you can look at it on page 12 if you get a copy of it. They've got a professor of biology from Texas A&M that says that all scientific theories have strengths and weaknesses. And so they follow that up by saying, however, basically when people bring up weaknesses to evolution, those are those people that want creationism and intelligent design. So, you know, as we know in constitutional law, it almost kind of works like a heckler's veto. You know, the person that opposes it is somehow going to control the message of the actual speaker. So if you speak out against evolution and think you should teach the weaknesses, you must be a creationist. You know, you couldn't have any type of scientific background. And so we know that's just absurd.
Well, I think that anybody who's familiar with the debate over evolution is not going to take this survey very seriously. And the reason is because if you look at the survey, they tried to survey over 1,000 scientists, and less than 50% of the people that they surveyed actually responded. Now, this is very interesting because it's a survey being conducted by a dogmatic Darwinist group, and you're asking scientists if they think there are any weaknesses in evolution. Now, given what we know about the scientific community, that there is an extreme climate of intolerance, the last group that a scientist who's a Darwin skeptic is going to express their views to, you know, to basically come out of the closet and say, yes, I'm a Darwin skeptic, is an extreme pro-Darwin advocacy group like the Texas Freedom Network. This is kind of like the Heisenberg effect, where the observer tends to influence the thing that they're observing. Well, that's exactly what's going on here. When a group like the Texas Freedom Network goes around asking scientists if they dissent from evolution, well, you can sure bet that the scientists who do have doubts about evolution are going to feel very uncomfortable expressing those views to a group like this. So in a way, this is a highly self-selecting survey, and I think that's reflected in the fact that less than 50% of the scientists they polled chose to respond. We don't know how many scientists in Texas have doubts about Darwin, because those kind of scientists wouldn't be the ones that would tend to feel free and comfortable expressing their views in a survey conducted by such an extreme advocacy group like this. So for a survey of scientists, it's an awfully unscientific survey, is what I would like to say.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you know, a couple of state board members picked up on that as well. They've seen this group before. They know what they're up to. And they even talk about that, how they know there's scientists that have received threats, that have been ridiculed, that have, you know, received nasty emails. There is that sense of threat and intimidation and harassment that's out there, because people would dare to challenge that. You know, there was a student that came up and that talked about his beliefs and how strong he felt about science and as successful he thought he was going to be. And one of the state board members said, well, so what would happen if you found something that was actually a weakness to evolution and you all of a sudden had to challenge the rest of the science community? What would you do? And for like 5 or 10 seconds, he was speechless. He didn't know what to say. He thought he was being clever. Oh, well, if that happened, I would receive the Nobel Prize. I just thought that was absurd, because he knows exactly what's going on out there. And the reality is, he wouldn't receive any prize. He'd receive a dismissal notice. And so we've seen it happen, and it's really...
You know, it's so fascinating to watch the cognitive dissonance that these scientists and these Darwinists exhibit when they talk about the reality of scientific dissent from evolution. Earlier this year in Louisiana, there was a scientist who testified right after three biologists testified about the weaknesses of evolution, and he came up there and said that there are no professional biologists who dissent from evolution, and it just didn't come off as credible. You know, these people must experience some bizarre form of cognitive dissonance to be up there testifying that there's no scientific dissent from evolution when, you know, like you said, people came up and talked about hundreds of scientists who dissent from Darwinian evolution. But we appreciate your report very much on the hearing before the Texas State Board of Education earlier this week. We appreciate what you're doing and wish you all the best there in Texas.
Thanks, Jesse.
This is Casey Luskin with the Idea of the Future podcast. Stay tuned for future podcasts talking about the current battle over how evolution will be taught in the state of Texas. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.